Good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Welcome to all of you here, especially those of you who might be visiting with us today and those of you watching online. Welcome on this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, also Mission Sunday today. So starting off with some announcements, I'll call Pastor John up.
Yeah, thank you. Yesterday we had the harvest party here put on by the Stavanger Ladies Outreach, and they did a great job. Just want to say a special thanks to all those who put their time in to organize and lead and everything. Had a lot of kids here. It was a great time. So thank you, ladies. Great work. I love to brag about Stavanger Outreach Group to other people. You do great work. So thank you. A second announcement, some have heard there's talk and some changes and questions about masking back in schools in our community and things like that. And regarding what we're doing at Stavanger, we've talked among leadership and don't plan to make any changes right now of what we are doing. Just a reminder, you know, if you're sick, stay home, practice good hand hygiene, and just, you know, be generally considerate of those who might be more vulnerable. But we're thankful that we can see each other's faces again and be worshiping together, and for the time being, we don't plan to make any changes in our current protocols. If you have questions about that, please let me know, and we'll address those as they come up. But thank you.
All right, continuing with some announcements. On Tuesday, we've got a Bible study series, Jesus Wins, a Biblical Overview of End Times Prophecy. And we've got two different times for that Bible study. So it's going on once at 10 in the morning, and that'll be in person or on Zoom. And then also 7 p.m., and that's in person. So if you're interested in joining either time for that Bible study, reach out to Pastor John. His contact information's on the back of your bulletin. We've also got a Shady Oak Bible study. That's on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. You can talk to Pastor Giovanni if you'd like to join that one. We've got your bulletin insert about Operation Christmas Child. Please bring your items for the shoe boxes to the designated table in the church basement by November 7th. And if you've got any questions about that, you can reach out to Joy Mathiason. Following the church service today, we're going to have some coffee and even some cake, so be sure to stick around for that. Enjoy some fellowship. And I'm sure you've noticed by now that the offering plate hasn't been passed around since before COVID, so you can find that in the entryway there. On Saturday, we've got a church cleanup day, so that's it at 9 a.m., and then following that, there will be a lunch. So if you can make it out to that, that would be great. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. Are there any other announcements that should be made? Yeah.
I just wanted to say about lunch today, it's going to be a recognition of our pastors, as this pastor appreciation month in October. So everyone's welcome to come
out. Yeah, and thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Are there any other announcements that should be made at this time? All right, then let us begin our worship service today with our call to worship from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Now let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship this morning. Thank you. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together today under your name. We ask that your blessing would be on this service today, that you would turn our attention to you. May our hearts and our minds be open to hear your voice speaking to us through your word this morning. And may you be praised and honored in our worship today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I'd invite you to please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God with our first hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I knew I was forgetting something. It wasn't another announcement. But for Mission Sunday today, we've got a video, a CLB Forge video about a mission plant that the LB is doing in Boston. So, Brenda, if you could play that video, that'd be great.
The CLB is needed on the mission field here in North America, and in order to expand our presence here, we're making plans to increase our church planting efforts. Our goal is to plant 10 churches over the next 5 years, and we'd love for you and your church to be involved. 5 years ago, the three New England CLB churches formed a ministry partnership called Cultivate New England. I served one of those churches, and we wanted to connect our churches together, but social gatherings never worked. But as we grew in our passion for church planting, we discovered that our churches began to bond through this ministry that we're doing together. We've called Christian and Mary Anderson to start this first church plant in Boston.
The question is, now how do we plant churches successfully in North America? And even more specifically, how am I going to plant a church in Boston, one of the most post-Christian cities in North America? First of all, God makes this work possible. He has called our Cultivate churches and has called my wife Mary and I to do this work, and he is the one who gives the growth. We have been building partnerships with like-minded organizations in the city of Boston, doing demographic research on each neighborhood within the city, attending church planting trainings with fellow pastors, finding a coach, starting to build prayer support, recruiting a core team, and building financial partners. Starting a church from the ground up, it's daunting. It means living each day on mission where God has us. We will be meeting our neighbors, getting plugged into local projects that are making Boston a better place to live, and inviting people into our homes and lives to see what being a follower of Jesus looks like. To do this well, there are a few things that need to happen. We first need this all covered in prayer. Second, we need a core team of people who are willing to be a part of this. Maybe you're one of them. Or maybe you know someone in the city of Boston who would be willing to be a part of this. This will also be people from our sending churches who are feeling led to this call. And third, it may be people who are around the United States who are sensing a call to this kind of mission. Lastly, we need the resources to make this mission possible. You know, this can seem like an impossible task. Starting a church from scratch seems overwhelming. Seeing even one single person come to faith and grasp the gospel is a miracle. This is too big for me, but it's not too big for God. God is sending us as missionaries into Boston, and maybe with you, to do the work that he has prepared in advance.
Maybe God is calling you to be a financial supporter. Maybe He is calling you to be a part of the core team that will gather here, or maybe in the next place we start a church. Will you join us in supporting this mission work? Thank you for helping us forge ahead in North America.
So, yeah, let us just be in prayer for this church plant. It's difficult. It's been difficult for a lot of churches just to continue running during COVID, and COVID certainly adds to the already much difficult task of planting a church. So we should be in prayer about this. But we also know that God is the one who brings growth, and that even in the midst of difficult times and suffering and everything going on with COVID, that God is able to rise up a church plant. So let us now turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We ask that you would bring healing and comfort, patience and assurance to all in need. We ask you, whatever wealth you have blessed us with, keep us from being too attached to it, and guide us to bless others with what you have given us. We thank you for the love and the community that we share in your body, the church. Make us rich in love and compassion. Give us hearts that long to serve others, that we might build up and edify and support each other through hardship. We think of all of those who are suffering today. Lord, you know what it is we need. You know those who have been suffering silently, and we ask that they would feel your presence today. We also think of all of the missionaries around the world that are facing difficult times and persecution. We ask that you would be with them and their families, that you would give them encouragement and strength, and that with your wisdom and discernment, you would lead them. You would give them your word to proclaim to the people. We ask that you would keep our attention from being drawn from you and the love that we have in your Son, through whom we have received grace and forgiveness of sins. Open our ears to receive your word this morning. And Lord, may you bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us. And now let us pray together as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now I'd invite up Pastor John.
I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. From Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. Mark, chapter 23, chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. I read in Jesus' name. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. How hard it is. How hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. To appreciate this passage, we really need to be reviewing what happened just before these verses in Mark chapter 10. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open up. Otherwise, I'll read it for you. This follows the passage, the account of the rich young man who came to Jesus wanting to know how to be justified in God's sight. He said, "How do I inherit? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, why do you call me good?" He called him good teacher, and he said, "No one's good except God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And teacher, he declared, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And that is when Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at this. And then Jesus, he kind of raises the stakes here. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Most of you have seen a picture of a camel. Maybe you've seen one in real life. Most of you have seen a sewing needle. There's a fair bit of size discrepancy between the two things. And perhaps you've heard that there was a gate in a walled city where it allowed only foot traffic, and if a camel went through, it had to unload its load to get through. That's probably not what Jesus is talking about, because the best historical sources we have say that kind of thing didn't show up until the 16th century, long after Jesus said these words. It's best to take what Jesus said at face value here, that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Darn near impossible. I was trying to think of something that would bring this closer to home. It's easier to put a 400-pound obstinate sow into a farrowing crate. Those of you on pig farm background, you might appreciate that, then maybe it is for a rich man. I don't know. The point is, the disciples understood that this, you can't do it. It's humanly impossible to put a camel through a needle eye. It's hard enough to put a sow in a farrowing crate, but it's impossible to put a camel through a needle eye. And so where does that leave a person? Who then can be saved? And Jesus acknowledges this. This is humanly impossible. You can't do it. The rich man that came to Jesus, he was looking for what he could do to get in, good with God. And Jesus put it right back in his face. Okay. Jesus knew what the man treasured. The man treasured his possessions. He had put that above God. And it points to the lure and deception of earthly wealth. How many of you have heard the Bible verse, money is the root of all evil? Ah, someone got it right. I purposely misquoted it. because you often hear it misquoted. Money, the scripture says, is not itself the root of all evil, but it is the love of money. The love of money. And a person could give all they had to the poor. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, Paul says, If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's not about the money. It's not about what we do to get in to the kingdom of God. We can take this passage and then start running with that in a direction perhaps that it wasn't intended to be taken, and say, well, then we shouldn't have any concern about wealth and money and things pertaining to it. We should just trust God and just let it come to us. Well, there were people in the New Testament times that thought that, and they had to be corrected. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4:28, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, "We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right for such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat." And it goes on in chapter 4 of 2 Thessalonians. He says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody." It's good to work hard as the Lord enables you to provide for yourself, to provide for those you're responsible for, to share with others in need. That's a good thing to do. It's something we ought to do. And yet, we shouldn't transfer that thought of independence into matters that pertain to the kingdom. As this rich man was perhaps getting confused. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And I would say it's even hard once you're in the kingdom, because this lure of possessions, of wealth, comes back at you. It can come and try to lure you back into some kind of false sense of security. And yet, when we realize the great gift of God, we realize what He has done for us in Jesus, then there's freedom and release from that trap, from that monkey trap of what we're trying to hang on to for a false sense of security. Think of the example of Zacchaeus that that man talked about in Luke 19. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He used his position to gain wealth for himself at the expense of others unfairly. And Jesus went in to eat at his house, and it says all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." It's only hard to enter the kingdom of God with wealth when we want to hang on to things that we can't hang on to for all eternity and put them in the place that God deserves. See, Jesus smoked out this man's problem when Jesus mentioned all the other commandments that this man said he kept. They're all commandments that dealt with our relationship with one another. But the first commandments, the first one and the second two are like it, deal with our relationship with God. And Jesus found the spot that revealed where this man's heart was. Jesus said elsewhere, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be." And our hearts can be lured away by this deception. And so we might come to the point of saying, who then can be saved? Well, there's good news in here. Because with God, all things are possible. And not only possible, but with Jesus, all was accomplished. The good news here is Jesus is the one who was rich, who left his position of privilege in heaven and humbled himself and gave up those riches for the treasure of you. Jesus made you his treasure, saving you, and made himself poor in order to save you and give you an inheritance which cannot be taken away from you, which cannot corrupt you, which can only bless you, an inheritance in heaven. And when we have the assurance of that inheritance, then we're free to serve God and not money. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And he gives the assurance in this passage to the disciples that when they are trusting in the Lord for treasure, not just in heaven someday, but for right now, for the things we need in this life, that Jesus said you don't have to worry about. Your Father knows these things, that you need these things, and he'll give them to you. He said, no one who's left, when Peter says, you know, we've left everything to follow you. He says, No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or children, father or children, fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields. We all have different specific callings in life. I was encouraged early on, trust in the Lord for the things of this life, to focus on the ministry of the word to which I was being called, and trust that the Lord would provide. And it involved moving. It involved living in somebody else's house, not owning our own property, and being able to pick up and go when the Lord says pick up and go, moving family, kids, away from close relatives and such. But I'm here to testify that we have not lacked. God has been faithful. We had a roof over our head. We had good food to eat, clothes to wear, even family. And this was really brought home to us at our son's wedding, Carl's wedding, a little over a year ago, when during COVID, everything's disrupted. A number of close family were not able to come or chose not to come for one reason or another, a lot of it health related. And at a time when you want your close ones together to celebrate and enjoy the wedding feast and celebration together, we had a table at the reception that was filled with adopted grandparents and aunts and uncles, people close to us that the Lord blessed us to work alongside of, whether it was in North Dakota or Africa, former co-workers and ministry friends, believers who became like family to us in all those places we lived. And there they were, gathered together for this celebration. We had family to celebrate with us, along with our blood relatives, the few who were able to come. God is faithful. We can trust Him for the things in this life as well as the life to come. He's faithful because that's His nature. And we can take Him at His word. That what is impossible for us is possible for Him. And what He has done already, it's not just possible, it's completed, it's finished. The gift is yours of the kingdom. And so Paul writes to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Have you ever seen a U-Haul trailer pulled behind a hearse? Probably not. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. But to save us from that, Jesus Himself was pierced and went through grief on your behalf so that you can be forgiven, restored, and ushered into His kingdom with riches that don't spoil. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving Jesus to take the hard way, that we don't have to, that we can come to Him with our burdens and weariness and receive rest for our souls as You have promised in Your word. Thank You for giving Jesus, the one who did what was impossible for us, so that we might be Yours and live with You now and forever. Lord, forgive us for our falling back on the temptation to trust in things of this world. But Lord, help us. Help us to work hard, lead quiet lives, share with others to be a blessing with that which you have blessed us with, and all the time trusting you for what we need in this life and the life to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise as you are able as we sing our next hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.